Chapter 38 Great Sound, Bermuda. Priya swam toward the Monarch, aiming for a spot beneath the nose of the huge aircraft. If she was right, the security system would include cameras situated on either side of the bay and motion sensors protecting the grounds of the palatial estate, but nothing directly beneath the plane. Swimming underneath the Monarch's belly, she marveled at the size of it. The aircraft was nearly the length of a World War II destroyer. She noticed the details of the hull that weren't visible in photographs. The front of the hull was thicker and covered with tiny lines and ridges like those used on America's Cup yachts. They would make the craft more slippery in the water. Farther back, the underside of the plane took on a Coke bottle shape and from that point on was perforated with thousands of tiny holes that stretched from one side of the aircraft to the other. They could only be high-pressure air valves, designed to pump millions of bubbles into the space between the fuselage and the water. The process was called supercavitation. It temporarily and drastically reduced the drag on any object moving through a fluid. Using a similar method, marine engineers, including some in NUMA, were building torpedoes and specialized submarines that could do well over 100 knots. Priya marveled at the ingenuity and the extent to which it had been used. Without the system, she doubted the Monarch could ever leave the water. Continuing toward the tail, Priya reached a spot where the hull began to curve upward. Shutting off the power assist of the dive suit and setting her buoyancy to neutral, she surfaced beneath the slope of the rising tail section. It stretched upward and back at an angle, keeping her in the shadows. "Time for you to start giving up your secrets," she whispered to the plane. She unzipped a small pouch and pulled out a device the size and shape of a smoke alarm. Next, twisting the top of the geotracker a quarter turn, she activated the device and then peeled a protective layer from the base, exposing the adhesive. Reaching up, she stretched out of the water as far as possible and pressed the device against the flat skin of the aircraft's tail. It bonded instantly. In 30 seconds, it would be impossible to pry off without a crowbar. Dropping back down into the water, Priya disappeared beneath the surface without a splash. She swam beneath the aircraft, using only her arms to pull her along before reactivating the dive suit. She swam past the nose, made a half turn, and set course for home. With a great sense of accomplishment, she left the amphibious aircraft behind. As Priya swam away from the Monarch, Tessa Franco was in her office on the aircraft's upper deck, dealing with her chief engineer. "I'm not talking to your investors again," Brian Yates informed her. "Not if you're going to have me lie about the state of our technology." Yates was a genius designer and brilliant chemist. He was also stubborn and had very few interpersonal skills. If he hadn't been so highly regarded by the tech community, Tessa wouldn't have trotted him out in front of her possible benefactors. "They're not my investors," she said. "They're our investors, and we won't have a company without them." "We won't have a company with them," Yates countered. "Not the way things are going."
"What are you saying?"
"Exactly what I've been saying for months," he snapped. "The fuel cells don't work. Certainly not as well as you're representing. And they never will. Not without extensive design changes. They'll also cost twice as much to manufacture as you're claiming. You realize there will be no profit at all on the final product. And I'm not going to stand up in front of a bunch of investors who trust me and tell them otherwise. I have a reputation to protect as well."
Tessa realized Yates had an overinflated view of his importance, to the point where she'd caught him referring to the fuel cells and the company as if he were the driving force.
"Listen to me, Yates, and listen to me carefully," she said. "It's your job to fix that. I'm protecting you, not the other way around. Everything you've worked for, everything you've been promised, it all goes away if the world suspects there might be a problem with what we're building. Do you understand?" Yates was undeterred. "There's a difference between keeping it quiet and lying. I'm not going to lie anymore. You can find someone else to be your mouthpiece. The next time someone asks me about the system, I'm telling them the truth."
As Tessa stared, Yates took his conference ID badge and tossed it at her feet. She ignored the tantrum, her blood running cold instead of hot. Yates seemed disappointed. He turned his back on her and walked out. She allowed him to reach the hall before pulling out a snub-nosed Smith & Wesson 380 automatic. "Mr. Yates," she said coldly, "I will not allow you to ruin me." Yates turned, saw the pistol, but never got the chance to retract his resignation. Tessa fired repeatedly, hitting him 4 times squarely in the chest and sending him to the deck in a pool of spreading blood. The gunshots echoed through the aircraft, and the commotion brought Woods down the corridor. He stopped and stared at Yates's body.
"What?"
"Don't ask," she said. "Just get rid of him. Take him out to sea and dump him." Woods looked at the body and shook his head.
"Fine," he said, "but we have another problem."
"Seems to be the night for them," Tessa said with a sigh. "What is it now?"
"A diver," Woods said. "A woman by the looks of it. She swam underneath the plane and then back out into the harbor. We caught sight of her on one of the underwater cameras. She attached something to the fuselage near the tail. I have one of the men checking it out."
"Tell me you tracked her," Tessa said.
"We didn't have time to get a swimmer in the water, but I tracked her with one of the underwater drones. She swam back into Great Sound at a fairly rapid pace. We trailed her to a yacht named Lucid Dream."
"That's Hatcher's yacht," Tessa growled.
"The investor?"
Tessa shook her head. Things were going from bad to worse. "Something tells me he's not an investor.
Get your men together. Get rid of Yates. Then I want Hatcher and this woman brought back here."
"And if they don't want to come?" Tessa glared at him. "I'm not sending you to deliver an invitation."